welcome to Art World Innovators, exploring stories of innovation in the art world. I'm your host, Susan Cohn, and you're listening to UMFM 101.5 at the University of Manitoba.
Our guest this evening is Franziska Agrawal, highly renowned industrial designer and artist based in Munich, Germany. Franziska completed a master's in industrial design from HFG, Pforzheim in Germany, and Rhode Island School of Design in Providence, USA, and also earned an MBA in international management from Brighton University in the UK. Her education informs her interdisciplinary approach that transcends the borders of art and design. Her practice, which she calls extreme architecture, explores the transformative power of large-scale installations, their monumental interaction with the human body, and the interdimensional dialogue they create within a place. Franziska's work is represented in public and private collections around the world. She has led interdisciplinary efforts on developing awareness and innovations in the discourse of emerging global cultures and urban landscapes. She founded Sub-Zero Art Collective, which is Germany's premier snow sculpting collective, representing the nation at international snow sculpting symposiums and championships around the globe. This nonprofit collective brings together artists, designers, and architects to create architectural installations carved from the most transitory material of nature, snow. They are the current world champion, holding the gold medal, first prize in snow sculpting for 2025 and 23. As lead creative for numerous projects and exhibitions, she has lived in New York, Mexico, India, the UK, and Peru. Franziska lectures in design and innovation management at the Academy of Fashion and Design and Visual Communication at the University for Economy and Media in Munich, Germany. Franziska is one of the artists invited this year for the Warming Huts, an art and architecture competition on ice, bringing unexpected and playful warming huts to the frozen river at the Forks here in Winnipeg. Her project, entitled Continuum, is the winning warming hut shaped entirely from compacted snow and is a 30-meter-long architectural snow corridor along the river trail, inviting skaters and walkers to move into an immersive spatial experience of temperature, volume, light, and sound. Welcome to Art World Innovators, and thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Hello, thank you for having me on your show.
You're a highly renowned industrial designer and artist. Would you like to share a little about your background and how you originally became interested in art and design?
I think it goes back to my very early days in my childhood. I was born in Ulm, and where I was also raised. And Ulm has the Ulm School of Design, which was founded by Max Bill and also Otto Eicher. They're very renowned for their reduced aesthetics in all the areas of design and graphics, product design, industrial design. And I think, because I remember that in the kindergarten, I was looking at magazines or being exposed to these kinds of visuals around me. So I think this is one influence I got, because I remember that I liked to look at these things. And on the other hand, my father is an engineer who worked with Max Bill for some time and with Gugelot design. And I think, of course, that my father is probably intrinsically the biggest influence, what I could carry within me. And then I'm bringing out now.
Can you tell us a little about your university programs and what you found most valuable during your early training that may have informed and influenced your practice?
I think looking back, even during school, I already used to prepare for university in Germany, for School of Design, the Hochschule für Gestaltung, for which you need not only an access exam, but you also need to prepare for representation, but with real works in those days. And I think with this kind of preparation, which had to go on for 1 or 2 years to actually accumulate so many works to be able to show something, it already became a more serious practice in terms of thinking, where would I want to go? And besides the fact that I was probably every single day since childhood drawing and painting. But the university, then my decision to do industrial design was probably based on the fact that industrial design offers at the end all, everything. Like, you can go in all sorts of directions in the area of design. And so that was more or less the reason why I choose that. And also because I knew that it would be interesting and a challenge, because it's technically connected and it is very comprehensive. So it combines social influences versus psychological. It combines everything about the human being. So I think this was the main reason why I chose that course.
Were there any artists that have influenced and inspired your innovative designs and artworks?
I think actually not so much. I was more interested for myself inventing things and finding what was always interesting for me were new products, new ideas, new inventions, and just things I've never seen before or which were new. And so for myself, I had the tendency to approach even my design work in product design more inventive than solely design shaping. And I think this was, for me, in the, all these beginning years, much stronger than it probably is now.
And then how did you become interested in snow and sand sculptures and large-scale installations, working with the natural and ephemeral materials?
Very early on, 1999, that was actually before I started university, I got in touch with the material snow through an art teacher who showed a friend and me a movie, or it was more an advertising video from the Ice Hotel in Kiruna, Lapland. It's like above the Arctic Circle, where I've now been a couple of times to design and realize sweets there out of snow and ice. But in those years, this was like so exciting, and there was no internet, and we wouldn't know about that otherwise. So we applied for a snow sculpting competition up there and got invited. And so that was the first time participating in one of these competitions and actually international championships. And since then, I was hooked. I did have some years where I had a break, but only three or four in those 27 now. And over the years, it was always important, but it became more important for me as a platform to realize artwork in a very big scale and more monumental. And I think that is definitely the bridge to my monumentality in pieces and why I like to work big scale.
They're also ephemeral. So how do you feel about your works disappearing, and how do you document them to keep the works alive?
This became interesting too, looking at myself, how I feel about the fact that there's nothing left. And I think I have internal emotional practice. You have to do automatically every time you create something. And I see that also in my teammates who join me more often. It always comes along that ephemerality and that's nothing left at the end, or we have to leave and we cannot take it with us except of photographs and video, that it's actually activating something internally for everyone because we're so closely connected to what we do in that moment. It's very intense. The whole situation is intense in terms of temperature, in terms of timing and deadline, but then also what we do and how we want to execute it. And then also within the team, it's actually also always a process. So that's why I think creating ephemeral pieces, which are so short-lived, are very much about the process and about the experience for the creator as well as for the audience.
Could you share a few stories of your experiences working in various countries where you're working in their communities and learning a little about their cultural traditions?
For me, it is actually a very important part of the whole process of making art. And I really enjoy and like creating art pieces in a site-specific way. And the traveling, which is always involved in creating a piece, and then meeting new places and new people, and especially being usually very involved with local people and not being so separated or disconnected, just visiting place, but not really getting in touch, is something what I really appreciate being able to have. So what I usually do beforehand is researching and trying to feel into the location I'm going if I don't know it yet. And that is probably the most difficult part, to sense a place to be able to then work site specific. But otherwise, if I know the place and also already the atmosphere of the place and maybe the atmosphere of the people in a place, then it becomes very different. But it is a very big part of the design and of the creation process.
How do you put together your teams and decide which events to participate in and where to travel to?
Actually, I think the way I'm working is more like typically like an architect, because I mostly apply for open calls. So it is more like looking for opportunities which are out there, of course, and then sometimes creating projects for those opportunities which have to be selected, like going through a jury and then getting the possibility to be realized. So it is in a way my selection of what would be suitable or what fits even to the context of my work. But then also it depends very much if the project is liked. I do a very systematic plan, let's say a snow sculpture. I don't have a typical artistic approach that I just go to the place and then I work on it and see what happens. So that's maybe more design, the way of how you usually design. You plan systematically, step by step, and how you would execute it and what you would do in order not to, for example, remove too much material or to be able to do it in a very exact way. It can be done because most of my pieces are going to the limit of what's possible with snow. And it needs to have a very refined and a planned through way of executing it. And that would be done beforehand going into the project. Also, of course, together with the team, then made a good plan of how this execution works with what each one of us can do best.
So what kind of skill set do most of the people have and what are their roles?
It varies, but for me, it is very important that people have a trained eye, because we can all see and we all have an opinion about what we see and if this is nice or not nice or beautiful or not. But a trained eye is very necessary to be able to work in that sense, in that monumentality or in that size, but also precise in those very restrained moments or situation, for example, at a competition. It's very time limited. Everything has to work really well. There is no time to deal with a lot of other stuff which not has yet been developed. And so the tasks would be maybe a little bit divided. Maybe we all work together. If you're four people finding the measurements, and then we would, in the second step, try to remove step by step where we could go, we would re-measure. And so everyone would have a certain kind of task to do.
You were one of the artists invited this year for the Warming Huts, an art and architecture competition on ice. Your project entitled Continuum was the winning Warming Hut. Can you maybe walk us through your creative process for this particular project from the idea to the finished sculpture Continuum?
It was very nice to work together with the Sputnik Architecture and Anvil Tree from Winnipeg here. And so they helped in the whole execution and built the project. What we did was not carving the separate pieces out of the snow, but we built forms out of wood panels, would then fill these wood boxes with loose snow blow it inside, then stomp it, and then letting it sit for several hours or even a night before we would then remove the form. So the piece is really long and we have many separate pieces. So we would have three forms and we would go consecutive one after another. And so we could continuously be producing three pieces a day, something like that.
When did you actually do the sculpture?
Just 1.5 weeks ago or 2 weeks ago.
So that's an example of how you do the snow sculpture, but you also do sand sculptures such as the paper boat that you made in Sweden. Can you tell us a little about this work and how it was made?
Yeah, so the sand sculpting or some other materials I've tried or worked with, it was very interesting for me because the whole approach of how you would work with a material like sand is very different to what you actually do with snow or ice. Ice and snow is even different because in ice you would remove, and with snow you would also remove, but you would have to pack it together. Everything about the material and how it reacts and how it needs to be treated to be worked well is totally different. So sand is very interesting material too, but it wouldn't be my favorite in that sense. But it has been very interesting to what is possible. And so the paper boat is a very interesting example, because usually it is said, and it is kind of true, that you have to build up always pyramidical in order that the sand, whatever you do with it, doesn't collapse. But since my work always also is an exploration of what's possible, and I'm very interested to what is actually possible, how far can I go, what can be done, of course, I wanted to try that also with sand. And so the paper boat has very steep angles of the side edges. And it is actually turned out to be amazing that if the sand is compacted also very, very well, the sand can do that, because it has not been in any way pyramidical. There is nothing else in it than sand and water. And when it's finished, when a surface is finished, if it's figurative or another, but once the surface is finished, you can put a mixture of water and wood glue on it, spray, but just a little bit. So the surface gets covered and kind of protected with a layer. So for example, rain or wind or a strong sun wouldn't go into the piece and dry the sand out, because basically it is water, the humidity holding the sand together. And once the heat, or once it gets too dry, it just falls apart.
Do you want to tell us a little about your industrial designs and the consultancy firm that you have, and what you enjoy most about this aspect of your career?
It is a very important aspect, but I don't really show so much in the outside. I have what I publish on Instagram, and what's seen for me is a lot as only art. But my design work nowadays is very focused on corporate identity, by product design, but corporate identity, also branding or logo creation. I do in that sense a lot of graphic, but also identity alongside the product design for products, so they're able to be identified. So it's not like a separate process between only having the identity in a graphic way for a brand, but also that it is actually recognizable in the product aesthetics or in the product design itself. So it's basically what the car industry is doing since a long time.
As a professor, what do you enjoy most about teaching and sharing your experience and discoveries with your students?
The teaching is very nice ground for inspiration. And I really enjoy the exchange and the brainstorming together, for example, with the students, or actually inventing new stuff. And that brings it in a way together from where I was originally coming from, wanting to invent things. And what I usually do with my students is try to give them the self-esteem to dare to think independently. And I think this is something what I am really grateful for, that in Germany, the universities in design, they're very focused on that, to strengthen each student and individual to think freely and then let creativity come in. And I think that's something I like to provide. So maybe this is actually something what also helps me to keep my mind in a way open and free.
Do you have any advice for upcoming artists and designers, for those that might be interested in the competitions and exhibitions?
I think if you do art and if you really want that, then I think the best advice is to just do it and keep on doing it. Don't stop, just do it. And while you do that, do your other stuff, do everything else, and maybe try to be seen and try to move yourself into possibilities, because there's nobody who comes and looks for you. So if you want to do that, do it. But don't expect anybody they'll come and help you.
Do you have something coming up for the festival?
I will be here for Festival du Voyageur. We'll be part of the snow sculpting symposium with other teams from other countries. And so we'll all going to have a snow block of the same size, and we'll be doing a snow project.
So it's quite different from the warming huts.
It is very different to the warming huts. We also have to have a plan beforehand, and everything is basically already planned in a way, but of course we don't know how the weather is in 2 weeks. Maybe it gets warm again, and then maybe I have to adapt the design if it's too warm. Because I've been a couple of years in a row here in Winnipeg, and the weather has been different. I've had rain during Festival du Voyageur, and everything melted away because it was so warm. So, yeah, you never know.
Do you have any other ongoing projects or exhibitions for your team coming up that you'd like to tell us about?
Actually, after Canada this year, I think my season is over for 26 until probably end of the year. But the snow projects will probably be the only one. So I'll be in Ely at the Ely Winter Festival. It's a very small festival, and they also do snow sculpting next week for a couple of days, and then afterwards the Festival du Voyageur. And when I'm back, maybe there will be another option in Austria, beginning of April, in the Alps, in a ski region. But otherwise, I think I have to focus now on the summer.
And which sort of projects do you work on in the summer?
I don't know yet. But I will definitely plan again for the winter, because that's what's happening in summer.
Well, I'd like to thank you so much for taking the time to share your story and valuable insight with our audience. And congratulations on your winning the Warming Hut for this year. It's been a pleasure speaking with you, and we wish you continued success.
Thank you very much, Susan.
For those of you just tuning in, you are listening to Art World Innovators on UMFM 101.5.
I will leave you this evening with music by Bajja. The songs are entitled La Luna and Run for Cover. Thanks so much for listening.
Stone, and we thank you for listening to Art World Innovators here on UMFM 101.5 at the University of Manitoba. Join us again next Wednesday from 5:30 to 6 p.m. for more on today's innovators in the art world.
Old Gold Vintage Vinyl Record Shop, located at 187 Osborne inside Urban Waves, is Winnipeg's newest and most diverse record shopping experience. Whether you're a veteran collector questing for collectibles and obscurities, or new to the world of vinyl and looking for some classic titles, there's something for everyone at Old Gold Vintage Vinyl. With thousands of titles on LP and 45 in genres spanning rock, soul, funk, jazz, blues, reggae, and more, plus new arrivals being added each week means there's always something to discover. Follow at VintageVinyl204 on Instagram and search for Old Gold Vintage Vinyl Winnipeg on Facebook for the latest on what's new in-store. And remember, we're always buying, selling, and trading quality LPs, so call 204-475-2353 or drop by the store at 187 Osborne. Old Gold Vintage Vinyl, because old gold is as good as new.
Standing up against racism is an ongoing battle. How will you help?
I will employ an intersectional anti-racist lens to support the racialized community as they exercise their human rights.
I will refuse to be silenced, and I will help others raise their voices against hate.
I will listen, learn, speak up, and take actions.
This message is brought to you by the Canadian Anti-Racism Youth Coalition. Visit caryc.ca for more information about how you can stand up and speak out.
The modern miracles of sound, motion pictures, and radio open up vast sources of entertainment and instruction. To benefit from these, we need our ears, which interpret for us the multitude of sound waves they receive. Let us always strive to protect and to preserve this most precious gift of nature.
Always eager to help you enjoy that gift, this is CJUM 101.5, broadcasting from the University of Manitoba in Winnipeg.
Truth came beating down. I walked 7. 17 hours in Italian shoes. Yeah, I met her at the station in the neighboring town.